Alrighty. So, how are we gonna start? I have no notes for this. What?
I don't either. Because I
I
kept
think
coming up with them and it was awful, so I figured we would just wing it.
that's a good idea.
Are you getting pretty good at it?
Getting pretty handy, bro.
Cool.
To warn the American people that in this crucial time, we can no longer afford to stand still. We can no longer afford to be second best.
But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of
This week, we discuss the dangers of cancel culture and apologize for this taking so long to come out.
Hey, this is Jesse Shelley from He Is Legend. You're listening to Red Flag Rhetoric.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 2. Before we get started, enjoy this track, Hannah, off Norma Jean's newest LP, All Hail.
We'll be right back.
Dude, I'm so glad to be back for episode two.
Yeah, man. It's been a while. How was your Thanksgiving?
Delicious. How was yours?
It was awesome, man. I was down in sunny Florida just soaking it up.
You went to Disneyland, right? Or
we did. Disney World, yeah. We did. We took the three kids down there, the three boys, and we just had a blast.
So, tons of positive feedback from the first episode.
Yeah.
But instead of, like, going on with, like, you know, interviews with musicians, I say we do some red flag rhetoric and talk about some stuff.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
So, look, we've had a lot of conversations about cancel culture and politically correct this and politically correct that. So, can we talk about that?
Yeah, definitely.
December 10th came and went. The conspiracy guys online were talking about that it was the big YouTube purge, and it was going to get rid of all the fringe conspiracy, the political right-wing conservative stuff, any kind of things that Antifa would disapprove of. And, well, it kind of came and went, and I only lost a couple of my favorite channels. Owen Benjamin's channel is gone. Which I can see why. if you haven't really listened to him and you jumped in right now, you'd be like, oh my God, this guy is openly racist. But it's actually not a racist thing. It's a well, no, he's not crazy. He's actually, I think, the epitome of super woke. But what it is he's not racist. He's just slaughtering the sacred cows, the words you can't say, and like just. You know, he's just getting rid of all those things. Basically, his whole opinion is, if you tell me I can't say a word, I'm going to say it twice just because you told me I can't say it. And even though I'm not totally there, there's definitely not going to spout off the N-word. I definitely don't think he should be shut down for it. I think censorship is censorship. And I think it sucks that they're shutting people down. But it did come and go. And I think even though a lot more channels are going to go down and even more are going to be demonetized, I think the reason why I thought it was going to be worse than it was is because it happened to fall on Human Rights Day. But still, censorship is censorship. We've already talked about how Google and YouTube, you know, Google owns YouTube. They've messed with their algorithms. They shadow ban people. If you're looking into conspiracies, if you look into any Christian conspiracies or flat earth conspiracies or any kind of anything that makes aliens look like anything other than these, you know, green dudes from outer space, you immediately get mainstream like Fox and Nat Geo links to things instead of people that have independent channels with a lot more truth. That have far more views. Like they're already, if you search for something, they feed you the narrative you want to hear. And same thing with politics. And I thought it was going to be a lot worse, but honestly, I think they don't really have to get rid of all the channels to push their narrative. Like I said, their algorithms do it alone.
Google's still a private corporation. So that is that censorship, or is that just the company deciding to do what it wants with its content?
Yes, it's a private corporation. But the size of it and the number of users, it's just like Facebook. It's might be private, but it's also at the same time, it's more of a public utility. And if you look at it like that, then it becomes a monopoly because you can say, sure, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. But somewhere else doesn't have the rest of the people.
All right. So that's still a different take than what I was going with for the whole cancel culture idea with this idea of censorship being added in. I guess, you know, it kind of flows to that. But I was thinking more along the lines of just private citizens, you know, sitting in front of their computer on social media deciding that a celebrity who said something 10 years ago needs to lose their job and not be able to work ever again. You know what I mean? Not even a celebrity, really. I mean, people have done it to everybody at this point.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that might be more like virtue signaling, you know, and virtue signaling, and not just for the sake of virtue signaling, but also maybe people that feel like they don't have any power and they don't have a voice. And once they are virtue signaling, then, well, what's a good way to make an impact is to basically do an audit of some famous person or anybody they have it in for, do an audit of all their social media activity and anything you can do, find something, and they feel empowered by shutting them down more than shutting them down because they feel like they need to be shut down. I mean, it's total speculation, but it feels like it could be more something like that to me.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you, and it'll be fun because this will be the first time on our podcast that we've really disagreed. That has been aired anyway. Let's put that in there. That's been aired. But I mean, I think that is at least when you, the title cancel culture, I think is that. I think that's exactly what you say. And maybe it is virtue signaling. You know, you might have described what it is, but I think when someone says cancel culture, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about this idea that if you say something that is countercultural to the point of being offensive to anyone, which is a whole nother issue of this whole idea of if anything goes against the culture, it's offensive, because that's how cultures grow in thinking, is by people who go against what the norm is, and that's how they grow. So if everything that goes against the norm is offensive and gets shut down, then that's a whole nother issue. But I feel like that's what this idea of cancel culture is, as far as the title cancel culture.
Maybe we should end this podcast and I'll go research what cancel culture is.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. But I still think I honestly feel like cancel culture is more about control and feeling like you have the ability to affect more than what you want to cancel.
No, I agree. I think it is. I think it is an idea of control. I think it comes from this place of thinking that that's how you make a difference, because that's all these kids know, is sitting in front of a computer or sitting in front of a screen. So that's how they can make a difference. They don't know going out and doing anything, because kids don't go out and do anything anymore. And maybe I'm an ageist for saying that. Maybe people will get offended and try to cancel us, and I hope they do. But that's just what it is. There's a generation coming up that has no idea what it's like. Well, and I'm generalizing. Obviously, there's outliers. But for the most part, they do not know what it's like living outside of the internet, living outside of being in front of a screen and being able to say whatever I want, seemingly with no repercussions. But, of course, now this is the answer to that. This is the repercussions. And, of course, it's gone too far the other way because, again, it's people trying to enact this quote-unquote justice or social justice, who have no idea what that is anyway, other than being in front of a screen and being able to do whatever I want without repercussions as well.
The whole thing seems so bizarre to me because, it's the college-age students that seem to be the worst when it comes to this, and I thought colleges were supposed to be liberal. We're supposed to be, you know, challenge ideas and challenge the way you think and challenge your opinions. And now colleges have to have safe spaces so people could go and be safe from being challenged or being, you know, tested or, you know, I don't know, that even have to think outside of their own little narrow box at all. That seems so bizarre to me.
It's gotten to the point where I think this liberal thinking, it started off as this open-minded, exploring ideas, and I feel like they've gotten to a point now, and I don't want to make this political, I just want to say, I feel like it's gotten to this point where they've explored ideas to the point where they've got their set of what the morals that they want are, right? And the morals essentially are, you know, whatever makes you happy and whatever you decide to do that doesn't go against any of the other list of things that we have, you can do, or you can think, or you can say. And so they've almost it's not liberal thinking anymore. It's just it's thinking based on what they say is right or on what they say is offensive. That's what it is. It's not, you don't have an open mind anymore. It's, they just have a different set of ideals.
Exactly. It's so bizarre. First of all, it's not liberal at all. Like, liberal means liberating. Like, you're liberated to think what you want to think and have your own opinions and do what you want to do and say what you're going to say. And hey, even if I don't agree with you, I'm you know, a liberal, I'm progressive, so I'm being open-minded to your opinion, even though it's not mine. It's like we're living the upside down. Like, it's the opposite of that. Like, you're right. They were liberal until they defined their own rules, and then they turned into super conservative. It's completely backwards. I mean, a lot of the friends I grew up with have completely – they used to be a lot like me, and now they think that I'm the weird one when I honestly – I think social media is doing something funky. It's having some kind of weird effect on people. Actually, I know it's social media. I just don't know what part of social media is causing it.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, social media would be a good topic for a whole episode, but I just to run down what I think about it. I think it's a tool that can be used, obviously, and I think it is a good thing. Like, you know, I'm on Facebook mainly – you know, because my friends and family are on Facebook, and that's how I communicate with them, especially, you know, not living back home where I'm from, not living in the same state as my family. So I'm going to be on Facebook so they can see the kids and I can see what they're doing. And that's, I think that's a good tool to use it for. But I think there's also this idea, and, you know, I think it's really probably worse on like Instagram or something like that, where it's all basically pictures and you're comparing yourself to other people. Of course, they're only putting up what they want you to see, right? You control whatever each other sees, but you're always comparing your life to what you see on someone's social media. And so it's, you know, this idea that you're always trying to compare the worst of you to the best of everybody else, or to only what everybody else lets you see. You know, I think depression, anxiety, all those things are skyrocketing. There's statistics for it. I was just at a conference not too long ago that this guy was talking about this, because it was about, you know, working with youth, and he was talking about this statistics of, you know, kids, like 70% of kids, teens now, that use social media have at least suicidal thoughts. Not necessarily that they're going to act on them, but 70% is a huge number of kids that at least think, you know, I'm not worth what all these other people are worth because I'm only seeing what all these other people want me to see.
Right, right.
And so then, like, when you get all this pristine imagery of other people, I guess that makes these ideas that are offensive even more. It may probably makes them look worse to these people, because everything is supposed to be perfect on social media. And then you see this thing that you don't agree with, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. So maybe that feeds into it as well. I don't know.
Yeah, well, of course. Well, first of all, you know, some of the creators, the people behind Facebook, what's the guy behind Napster? I can't think of his name that ended up with Facebook. Sean Parker, he said it's something like a dopamine-driven information feedback loop. So what's going on is it's what you said with, here's everyone else's perfect life that I can't live up to, and they have way cooler photos of themselves, and if they happen to have more money, then they're taking pictures of these incredible places they are and their incredible cars. And also, it's like I just said, the dopamine information feedback loop, which is, here's a picture of me that I'm proud of, and it's me being genuinely happy with my family, but because I didn't get enough likes or enough comments and didn't get approval, which isn't even peer approval. You don't know most of these people. Most of these people aren't your friends. They're acquaintances, or people, in my case, that I met once at a bar 11 years ago. And you know, people aren't getting these likes, so they're getting depressed. You know, people are checking their phones when there's no alert, just in hope of getting these likes. You know, like, yeah. Of course it's going to cause depression. I you know what? I don't even care about likes. I tried my best, as you know, to delete my Facebook. But I did the Norma Jean interview for Talk To Me, and then this, and I'm like, well, you know, this is great. advertising, you know, I wanted to get out of it, you know, especially after I realized that, you know, if I posted something political or my opinion about something, you know, I was catching these, you know, hazing from friends that wouldn't dare talk to me like that in you know, face to face, you know, super, super nice to me. I mean, good friends, but, you know, hiding behind a computer screen with just a keyboard and, you know, you strike a nerve with someone and they just fire off the most, you know, foul stuff, you know? I mean, I guess that is the steps to becoming cancel culture, which is if you're going to be super harsh because you have a different view on gun control and, you know, all these nonsense hoax shootings, then of course, if you don't even know the person at all, then yeah, I might spout off like a few bad sentences to someone that I love dearly, but I don't know that dude at all. And he thinks he's going to host the Oscars after saying that. I think it's probably, there's probably a pattern here, like if you funnel down from what we're saying, that leads to that kind of behavior, you know, keyboard warriors.
Yeah. And I think it's clear. I don't think that it's necessarily one political side. Like, you know, again, we didn't want to get political. And I think there's both sides can be equally as guilty of this. And both sides have people who are equally as against it and call it out. I think a lot of times it gets looked at as, oh, well, you know, it's people on the left that are getting angry with these alt-right opinions and freaking out. And I mean, that does happen. And I think that that's what we see in the media, because I think the media has a left-leaning view. But I think that there are just as guilty people on the right who do the same thing, or who maybe on the other side, they might try to, you know, both sides might also have people who are out there just trying to be offensive, just to be offensive so that they'll get people to freak out like that. So, I mean, I think it's a problem on both sides. I think there's good people on both sides and bad people on both sides. And it's just a mess. I definitely think that social media has something to do with it. I think that just the internet in general has something to do with it, because you have access to all this. Obviously, that has a lot to do with it, is having the access. I wouldn't be able to say Kevin Hart shouldn't host the Oscars if I couldn't read what Kevin Hart wrote 10 years ago, or, you know, have a platform to say Kevin Hart shouldn't host the Oscars. But yeah, I mean, I think it comes from pride too. I think there's just this issue of pride where what I think is right, and I don't even think it's individuals, because I don't think necessarily all these people are being super, you know, this is what I believe because I have really strong convictions about it. I think mainly they've been told what's right and wrong and by the media and by social media, and they've just decided, oh, that's what's right and what's wrong. So I think it's almost like this corporate pride. And when I say corporate, I mean corporate as in all the people, right? And they're almost like this pride of, we know what's right as a group of people, and if you go against what we say, then you're wrong, and so we have to do something about you being wrong.
Right. And you know, and this is obviously my conspiracy-minded, you know, side of things, but they're also following their favorite rock stars and you know, Hollywood, you know, spell casting elite that are being controlled by an even higher power, and they're kind of telling people how to feel and how to think, and their way of doing right by their idols is by going out there and slapping down anything that, you know, begs to differ from, you know, that whatever point of view they happen to be influenced by.
Yeah. So you got people following celebrities on one side, cutting down celebrities on the other side, and then you got people following those celebrities, cutting down celebrities on this side. And really what it comes down to is we just got to understand that celebrities are people just like us. And, you know, we're looking at them like, oh, well, their opinion should matter more than my opinion, or should matter more than the average person's opinion. And, well, you know, they're an athlete, or they're a movie star, or they're a music star. And it's like, well, yeah, they're good in that area, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're right about everything else. They may be idiots compared, you know, for everything else.
A lot of my favorite musicians, I'm not going to name them, but a couple I've met even recently, I've just been like, wow, you're not that bright, are you? but just brilliant musicians. And then, you know, if it's actors or actresses, like, what do you really know about them? You know, they're not writing their scripts. And these people are being heavily influenced. And then, you know, whatever cause they might be behind.
I mean, I don't necessarily see this getting better anytime soon. I just don't. And that's sad. I think that, you know, if we have people listening to this, maybe take a warning that, you know, this is a real thing. This happens. I would advise to not do it to anyone else, right? Don't jump the gun when someone says, if someone says something offensive, or if you find something that someone said offensive a long time ago. I'd much rather see it open up a dialogue rather than, oh, well, we just need to cut out everything they've ever done. Now, I do think there are people that should be just cut out, like R. Kelly. You know, we brought up R. Kelly. I think R. Kelly is one of those people that, you know what? Now, I might listen to some of his songs because I Believe I Can Fly is a jam. I don't care what anybody says. It's a jam. But at the same time, if R. Kelly decides he's going to start putting out new music, I'm probably not going to put any money into trying to hear it. Not going to go to any of his shows. I just don't want to support him as a person just because he's not a good person, or all the evidence points to that. But, you know, I'm probably going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy 3 regardless of if James Gunn is in charge of it or not, because, you know, he said one thing 15 years ago or whatever. I feel like there's a huge difference there. And I think that the idea that we just cut people out rather than, hey, do you know what you said, you know, was offensive? And some of these people might not even think they're being offensive, especially, you know, 15 years ago, people said a lot of things that you could get away with saying then that you can't necessarily get away with saying now. So, you know, if we're looking at it through a prism of today, then yeah, that might sound super offensive to the world today. But back then it was probably just everyday conversation, you know? So I think we need to have that dialogue. There shouldn't be a rage from behind a keyboard. It should be, hey, I noticed you said this. You know, what was the heart behind it? What did you mean? You know, that hurt these people this way, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you said a couple things there that, first of all, you know, exactly. If you don't agree with it, turn it off. You know, like, you don't have to cancel it. Just if Kevin Hart, we keep bringing up that example, is hosting the Oscars and he said something you don't like and you're worried he's going to say it again, well, don't watch the Oscars. If there's a biblical cosmology video on YouTube and you disagree with, don't watch it. If you're an advertiser and you have monetized material and you don't want that, you know, you don't want your ads on there, well, then choose not to have your ads on that particular video. And as far as cancel culture and censorship goes, remember that once you open the door for censorship, then you might be happy that the things that you don't like are being canceled until the tides turn. Censorship is censorship. And once you open the door to let outside powers help you with this, you've opened the door for them to run whatever agenda that, for example, may make them the most money or get the right person in the office. It's a slippery slope. You know, like you said it best, you know, just if you don't like it, you know, and you know, don't watch it. You're right. Of course, there should be a dialogue. You know, everyone should have their own opinions. You know, we're supposed to be the land of the free, but now you're not free at all. If you're a teacher, a college professor, and you call a trans person by the wrong pronoun, you lose your job. That's not freedom. And, you know, I mean, it's really going to a place that I see from the start. You know, and my conspiracy mind kind of thinks this was by design and was the end goal anyway. You know, 1984 starts out like this, you know. So I think it was the goal to start with. Thanks for listening to our cancel culture episode. Hopefully the next episode won't take as long to get out. Thank you for listening.
and that's the right one to get this.